Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom. What's going on? We're back again for another Sabbath. Hope you're enjoying your Sabbath. Hope everything is going good. We're back for another week. I hope it's been a lovely week. You're getting, enjoying your rest. Another Sabbath. We got a lot. We ain't got a lot, but it's very impactful in a little bit. Show ain't going to be too long today, but we got some interesting information that's some things going on right now, but let's pray and move on. Father Yahuwah, Yahusha, the Messiah's name, Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for another day to just another Sabbath that we get to just rest. And we pray that you would show us what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, and you would teach us by a set apart spirit, and we will learn the signs and the times and the things that are going on, that we may prepare ourselves and prepare our families for what's coming upon the world, and we pray that we may be worthy to escape what's coming upon the world. So we pray all these things in Yahushua Mashiach's name. Hallelujah. So be it. Amen. So yes. Like I said, we ain't gonna be here too long, but you're listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Side, and you are on the way. Hey, man, we got some interesting things going on. There's a couple things we want to talk about before we get into, some things. We had the biggest, one of the things going on, we've been keeping up to date about the Iran situation, and I guess the only development this week, as far as in the news, and I believe this article came out today, but we have some an Israeli spy or somebody. He was really, being blunt with Benjamin Netanyahu and the one of the defense officials. And and they were talking about that, because the whole story, we've been talking about it, about the Iran nuclear program and how the Israelis want to bomb, their nuclear facilities. Well, this guy was kind of warning too that, hey, if you bomb it, it might accelerate their progress in making a nuclear bomb so it'll backfire and it'd be more catastrophic than was thought. And so we talked about last week how they had a meeting. The meeting kind of, the Iran didn't really back down, but they said, hey, we're open to negotiations in Baghdad next month. So next month they have negotiations in Baghdad about whether they will digress from their nuclear program. Needing to get, it said that they need to get some more uranium to obtain, nuclear weapons and all this. But one of the veterans or the spy or whatever, he came out with a couple of statements against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying that, he's Jewish or Israeli or whatever, and he says, he was saying he really don't trust them. I think his last name is Distin. Who is a retired head of the Shin Bet domestic intelligence. And he said, he was quoted as saying, I have no faith in Prime Minister or the defense. And so basically they were talking about that, he's saying that they have, It's just the media propaganda going back and forth. He's saying that they don't believe that they're going to do anything, and they don't believe they should do anything because it will be an attack against Iran will start, you know, something that really Iran wants them to do. They want them to attack them, and so it can be just a whole catastrophe. But that's just the media news, but we always talk about the real news on the way. And so we know all this is propaganda and hype, and this is what the media is portraying, like it's going back and forth. But we know that it will end up coming to odds where there will be a war, and other nations will be involved. And you have because last week was very confusing because they had the meeting with Iran, they had Russia and China. Almost seemed like they were siding with the West, but we know that that's not the case because, you know, some other sources, like we told about before, actually has said that Russia has supplied Iran with some weapons and different things. So it's kind of confusing. How can they now be saying that they are against what they're doing and all this, but yet they are supplying them with weapons and different things. So it's a media game. It's going back and forth to try to confuse people, and they're trying to create what the West is trying to do and what they always trying to do, just like in 9/11, is try to create some kind of opponent or enemy in order to push forth their agenda. And so Iran's been the one who's been singled out even by, you know, Israel and everybody else. And so what you're going to have is just like we had in 9/11, you're going to have something that's going to trigger them, you know, taking odds against Iran. So this is something we need to continue to watch, and that's pretty much it coming out of the Middle East. Not too much. We're going to keep you abreast about what's going on in Syria, too. But as far as this goes, you just have the media playing around and just saying different things. And so there's really no, because some people are saying that Iran's trying to buy time by saying, yes, we want to agree to talk, maybe negotiations. But yet they have said, as we talked about last week, they have said that in the contract of the nuclear contract, which governs the international bodies, it says that a sovereign nation has the right to produce uranium and all these things for peaceful means. And so they're saying that they, under that contract, that they are in line with that, and they say there's nothing is wrong. But however, other nations, particularly the West, feel different. And so they still said, and we're not going to back down from that, but yes, we'll talk to you. So it seems a back and forth game, and they're not really going to regress on how they feel. And Ahmadinejad is not going to regress on how he feels. It just seems like maybe they're buying time until they're ready to accomplish what they're going to do. And we talked about before that the Russian general a while back already said that they had obtained nuclear weapons already. And so So what is happening is that we have a very interesting thing building over there in which you're going to have an all-out war. So we have to continue to watch and see what's going on. But I want to get to the big news story because we said we weren't going to be here that long, but this is very, I mean, this is a gut check news story. This is a gut check news story. We've been talking about the London Olympics, and we said, hey, man, something is fishy about the London Olympics. When you even look at the logo of the 2012 London Olympics, it spells Zion, and we know the Zionists, and we know the Rothschilds and the Ashkenazi Jews are behind a lot of things, you know, and events that happen, pressing forward until the prophecies. They're on the evil side of the prophecies and revelations to make it to where Revelations 13 happens, where no man is able to buy or sell except he have the no one is able to buy or sell except he that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So a lot of people think these things are fantasy, all this really ain't going to happen in my time or anything, but we want to show you right here. This is a gut check news article right here that I got some notes on. Now, this I just found this out today, and I did not know this is really one of the biggest intentions behind the 2012 London Olympics. And like I said, you know, people say, oh, well, the logo says Zion and all that's, you know, all that's fantasy, you know. But think for yourself when we talk about this. We talk about the Zionists, the Rothschilds. We talk about they are, you know, the private institution who created the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is actually in London. So here's what you have. We talked about a while back, we talked about even if you kind of update with YouTube and you watch the article, if you haven't got a chance, look up Aaron Russo. And he has an interview with, one of the Rockefellers, and he said that, hey, what was the end goal? He asked him, what was the end goal for the Rockefellers, for them doing this, all this evil that they're doing, like, what is the end goal? And he said to have everybody equipped with the chip, RFID chip, basically making it to where, hey, if you don't do what they want, you don't apply with the system, hey, they either kill you, they eliminate you, or they'll turn your chip off, or you won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, and everything will financially be connected to this system that they have, they can master control the masses, just like Revelation 13 says. So we know that scripture is going to come to pass, and this right here gives you a gut check of how it's coming to pass. The London Olympics 2012, which is this summer, I think we said it's July, this summer. Only, what is this month? The month just turns, it's April, May, June, July. You're talking about April, May, June, July. You're talking about 3 months. 3 months from now, this is what's happening. They're having a thing called the Contactless Revolution, 2012. This 2012 Olympics is set to be the first ever contactless Olympic Games. Mark Alston, Visa's European head of the contactless, is predicting that it will be the year that it takes off. Now, so the Visa head of Europe's contactless program, we got to explain this to you. The contactless program, what is this program? This Olympics is all circled around this. This is a program which now debit cards, credit cards are now becoming what they're calling contactless, which basically means now you no longer have to slide your card, you no longer have to enter a PIN. It's something like they have it here in Florida. We talked about what Viral Chip was doing. Where you have a card and you just wave it, or you wave it, and it automatically debits from your account. You don't have to worry about no PIN. You don't have to worry about nothing in it. You just go through the line. It just debits. Now, this is the thing. We talked about the IBM commercial where the guy walks out and the dude hands him a receipt because he had the RFID chip, and this is a real commercial from IBM. And he has the RFID chip and it debits out of his account and he goes on about his business. Okay. Now, UK, what when I looked in the article, Mark Alston's the Visa head of this program in the UK, he's saying that this 2012, the time of the Olympics and after which there is going to be the big boom of this. He said it's going to be the boom of like something like the internet shopping thing was. It's something like the internet was. He said it's going to be boom. Now, UK supermarkets are all going contactless with the wave and pay system.
Now, this is what ViralChip has been doing, and we know that the president of ViralChip, I believe it's Scott Silverman, he's already been quoted as saying that he wants everybody equipped with the RFID chip with your finances on it. Remember, he was on, what's the program, the ABC program, Morning America, and he had the chip. He already has it in his arm, and he waves it over, and all his information comes up. He said he said of this program, he wants every, and that's for America. They have that program is in America. Is he wants everybody equipped with that, so you know all your finances are tied to that. He's already been quoting and saying it. Okay, now UK supermarkets, Subway. I mean, the list goes on and on about companies who are going to this system where, you know, in reality, you probably couldn't see it, but if you can look further, you can see that, hey, these things are pushing forward for the market to be. A lot of major banks also in the UK this summer are going to the contactless system. Okay. Samsung and LG, the phone companies, and it's a couple other phone companies, are later this year, 2012, they're coming out with, in the SIM cards and the different things, they're coming out with new phones now. They're making the revolutionary of new phones. Like I said, this is called, they're calling this summer the contactless revolution, okay? And these phones, like the Samsung, the LG phones, all these phones now in the SIM cards will be embedded with in the SIM cards will be embedded bank card and information. So it's almost like you would almost have to just wave your cell phone or whatever and it automatically debits from your account. Now this is speeding it up because just like we talked about the IBM commercial when everybody is giving the mark of the beast. When you can no longer buy or sell. Because what's happening in the UK is all these McDonald's is one of the biggest, I don't know how much money they said they were going to use on this system, but they said they were going to this system. And what's happening is, it's something like, remember the digital wave thing that was going on in America when you had everybody going to digital. You know, you no longer have analog signals, everybody's going to digital and they had to convert. Now in the UK, all the banks and the McDonald's, Subway, I have some more. I mean, the list goes on about all these companies. Superdrug, which is like something like a Walgreens here, and the CVS. All these places in the UK are going to the contactless system, where you no longer have to enter a PIN. You just walk by, you wave your card, you pay and wave. It's like the viral chip. So this is speeding it up to where it's going to be the same thing, but it's not going to be a car. In the future, after this, when they implant and you have to, you know, receive the mark of the beast, they're going to have it so where you just, you know, you wave your hand and it's debits from your account. So there's no, they're saying, oh, yeah, you know, they'll hype it up and they'll juice it up and say, oh, yeah, you know, you won't have, you won't have to worry about long lines and all these things because all they do is ring you up and you just wave your stuff and you won't have to worry about, you know, getting cash and all this stuff. So they'll make it look more convenient and different things like this. But, I mean, this is very serious. They're saying this is the contactless revolution, basically pushing forth to the market of beast. You have Visa, Samsung, LG, all these major phone companies now are going to start putting this in their phone, in the SIM card, the payment things, and they're going to start. I think a lot of the UK banks, they're offering their customers, since they're going to the contactless system, they're offering a lot of their customers a free upgrade to this system. Now, I want to get it clear. I don't believe that the contactless system is actually the mark of the beast. I believe it's a precursor to the mark of the beast. Now, because we know that Revelations 13:18. Here is wisdom. He who has understanding, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666 or 666. So we know it is a number of a man. That man, Chi Psi Sigma, in the Greek, is Jesus. So we know that man, that's what that man's name is. So they're eventually going to pass out these cards with, and we talked about even Virochip, the company. They're probably one of the biggest companies of the supplier, if not the biggest company of the supplier of the RFID chip. We talked about a while back. They signed a deal with the Oricom satellite, so now they can track these. You know, how does food track all the way across the country and back? You know, it's tracked through RFID technology. Now they signed, and it's also in the law books and you know, all these other things where, hey, they can actually track people, you know, by Oricom satellites. So now all this technology will be given unto the beast, and the beast will be able to know where everybody, you know, everybody who has a chip, they will be able to control them. We talked about the significance of the radio frequency waves, which can trigger neurological things in your mind to basically make you become a zombie. You know what I'm saying? Make you become a zombie once you take this chip and you're not able to remove. So all these things are speeding up until Revelation 13 starts to unfold, and it's unfolding now. You're talking about this summer. We ain't talking about 2015. You're talking about they pushing for the mark of the beast in UK. And the vice president, the head of his contact system, said that this is going to spread throughout the whole world by the end of 2012, in which it's going to move forward until you're going to have a day when it's mandatory, when all systems, just like they did the digital TV, where no longer, when you go to McDonald's, no longer are they carrying cash. Just like the systems in UK are going to the contactless system, in which they will end up going to the RFID system, when all systems now in all banks and all banks or shopping centers or malls or everything you can think of where you can buy and sell. It just didn't say food. Revelation 13 just didn't say food. It said that no one should be able to buy or sell. So if you're selling, if you're owning a business and they come to your business, the government comes to your business and say, hey, you have to transfer to this B system. And they're not going to say the B system, but they're going to say, you know, whatever system, you know. Now you can no longer offer products until you get converted to that system. That's like digital TV. I'm giving you this example, but you can no longer watch TV unless you get to the digital, unless you get converted to the digital system. You know what I'm saying? So now all this is going to happen, and they're going to convert to that system, into which, number one, if all the markets everywhere are converted to a system, that makes it to where then the people have to convert to the system. So that's what's going to happen. That's going to be the series of events, because that's what they're doing in UK. They're making all the businesses, the subways, the McDonald's, the super drugs, all these stores and all the banks are going to the system first. They're not going to make the people go to the system first. The government is going to make all the establishments who sell go to the system first. Then they're going to make the people who buy convert to the system. That's exactly how it happened. That's exactly how it happened with digital TV. The government converted and told these companies to convert to this system first. Then the buyers had to go and get the product in order to continue, what they were doing. So that's how it's going to happen. And that's what's happening in the UK right now. So, I mean, this is a very gut check, man, because you're talking about that. Hey, scriptures are real. The mark of the beast will real. The name the name of the anti-Messiah, JC, will command. Look, it says, look, verse Revelation 13:16. He calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand and upon their foreheads. So we're talking about when all these things start happening and this system gets around the world, because now they're making it like, oh, yeah, it's convenient. You know, it's not really it's really going to be a choice. And why I say that is really going to be the end stage of the mark of the beast is really going to be a choice whether you or not you're going to take the mark of the beast. Understand this. If all the government systems are where you can buy or sell, and we pray that, you know, that Yahuwah, in the name of Yahushua, will deliver us from these things that come upon the world, but these words are for the words that, you know, to warn people to, hey, who may be here, to, hey, do not take the mark of the beast, man, to warn our family, hey, man, if you don't heed, and if you don't accept Yahushua, man, you will have to go through the tribulation, man, in which they will have the mark of the beast, where you have Enoch, Jehaliyahu coming here, bearing witness against the false Messiah, JC, you know, telling people that he is the false Messiah who is coming to the world to do signs and wonders in order to deceive. You're talking about the anti-Messiah coming and declaring everybody and making everybody get a mark, putting their hand on their forehead, and in which all these establishments have gone to. So now when all these establishments go to the mark of the beast system, just like they're doing in the UK, which, you know, we're talking about the contact is not actually the mark of the beast system. I mean, it's a prototype, the prototype of it. But once it's really implemented and the anti-Messiah stands in the temple, claiming himself to be hell, you're talking about the last 3.5 years, that's when the mark of the beast will actually be instituted for 3.5 years. Now, there's people who spiritually right now who have heard the message about the truth and still decide to accept the anti-Messiah, the name. They accept the name of the beast, basically accepting the anti-Messiah and having the mark of the beast. Now, if those people we talked about who have heard about Yahushua, if they do not repent, then Revelation is clear. It says, if anyone worships the beast or his image or receives the mark upon his forehead upon his hand, he shall drink the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out undiluted in the cup of his wrath. So there's a lot of people who have heard about Yahushua, the Messiah, you know, have heard about, and they've heard about the false Messiah, JC, and they still choose the mark of the beast, JC. And if they don't repent before the time of repentance is gone, then there is no hope. There is no hope, and you can't be saved. You know, that's reality. You know, because, you know, he doesn't deal with what you don't know. He deals with us what we know and what we, you know, decided to do with that. So, I mean, this is talking about 3 months from now. They're pushing for the contactless revolution, which is pushing and pushing forward until the mark of the beast. I mean, when I really didn't want to get too much in depth with the articles, and we're going to have more on the story. But, I mean, when you look at the evidence and the companies that are going to it, I mean, all throughout UK, they're saying this is the first ever Olympics where this is, I mean, this is a boom. I mean, they have even the bus systems are going to this system. The bus system, any system you can think about where it involves transactions of money, they're going to this. And you can see now, you can see in the Ruach, in the spirit, you can see in the future what's going to happen is they're going to go to everything. Think about it. Imagine a bus. Imagine now you can't even get on the bus without the mark. You couldn't get on the bus if you don't have the mark of the beast. You can't, anything that involves money, you can't go a simple going to the store. So we're talking about that's why that we have to pray that, hey, we are worthy to escape those things which are going to come upon the world because it's going to shut down everything, you know. And a lot of people, and that's what a lot of people are going to be tested. He said he will keep you from, Yahushua said in Revelation 3, that if we held fast to his testimony and did not deny his name, he would keep us from that hour of testing which is coming upon the whole world. Because that would be an hour of testing for the people here. A lot of people will come to Yahuwah through Yahushua, but they will become martyrs for that. But the thing about it is that it's going to be an hour of testing. Imagine how much testing it is when you no longer can buy food. If you go steal, you're going to be labeled a criminal, and you know, you will be, you know, and they will kill a lot of people. They will kill the people who do not want to receive the mark of the beast. And so you have, that would be an hour of testing where you can't give for your family, you can't do anything, simply because if you do, you know the consequences from Yahuwah, as far as taking the mark of the beast. And a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I can take it back, or I can ask for forgiveness or repentance, but there will be no repentance. The whole word is clear that, hey, if you take the, you receive, if you make the deliberate, willing choice to receive JC, the false Messiah, over Yahusha, the Messiah, then you will have no hope. You will be tormented forever. So that's what we're telling people. We're telling people, hey, even though this image of the JC, you know, they put out there that the image that's on the churches, the long hair, the blue eyes, and the, you know, and we're gonna have more on that. But this image that they put out there, these cross and these images presented by Michelangelo and Warner Selman and these people who painted these pictures of this anti-Messiah who's going to trick a lot of people and going to look like that image, who's going to transform himself into the images like that. You're talking about that, hey, if you decide to, knowing and hearing the truth, if you have decided to pick him over Yahushua the Messiah, who died for your sins and you treated his blood and his name like it is nothing, then it is nothing. It's no repentance. You cannot go back from that. So that's the hour of testing that's coming upon the world, to where every system will be shut down into every system is now integrated into the market. Think about it. Everything really, and that's what we really want to get into right now. As you think about it, every system really involves money. So Hasatan believes that, you know, if he could stand over money, if he could stand over finances and shut it down to where people can no longer use money except they worship him, then he feels like he can get all the worship because everybody needs money, you know. However, if people love the Creator Yahuwah and his son Yahusha over, you know, money or finances or whatever, then they will live forever. So that's the testing that's going to come upon the world, and these people will die for it. A lot of people will die for it. You know, a lot of people will die for it. A lot of people will give up and say, hey, I need to eat today, you know, so they're going to give in to the system just to eat for that day, just to eat for that week, you know what I'm saying? When you can eat forever, when you can die and live forever, or eat now and die forever. So that's what he said. Whoever will lose his life now will gain in the future, but whoever will try to gain his life then, you know, will lose it. So this is what we're talking about. This is the hour of testing that's coming upon the world. I mean, it's 2020. If you don't see it 2020, pray to Yahuwah and he will give you understanding. But, I mean, it is happening and it's starting to happen even this summer, in which they're pushing for this thing. And that's what we don't want to be caught unaware. When they come to the U.S. with this, when they come to all banks and all systems come to this, and we see the things happen, we don't want to be caught unaware about, oh, I didn't see it coming. Because we're telling you now, the Ruach HaKodesh is revealing to us now that, hey, this is coming. This is coming upon the world. That, hey, they're gonna shut everything down. You can no longer pay even your rent. If every system and every people that buy and sell are transferred to the mark of the beast system, because it involves money. You can no longer pay your rent without receiving the mark of the beast. And so what it's a lot of things. Like, what are you gonna do? And it's a lot of things you could think about. A lot of things you can be scared about. And, you know, a lot of these things, but hey, this is what you got to realize, man, that Yahuwah will sustain us, you know what I'm saying, and we pray that we'll be worthy to escape those things which come upon the world, because it's going to be our testing. So we pray that just hold fast to his name. Hey, do not deny his name, continue to tell people about it, continue to plant seeds, continue to, you know, just get our house in order, man, so we may be blameless, like those 144,000, blameless, and no lie, no deceit, no vanity, no falsehood, no cursing, no nothing, no pure water and pure life will come forth out of our mouths. We will be spotless before his throne. So this is what you have. And we also found more information that the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that they have dedicated almost $1 billion to a massive biometric program. The Lockheed Martin system that will enable on-the-fly analysis of detailed identification information, which can be instantaneously stored, it says, transferred and shared with law enforcement. NGIS, New Generation Identification System. This is a system that they're putting forth money to, and it deals with the radio frequency chips, the RFID technology. Just like Scott Seven was on the ABC and he scanned his arm, and then automatically all on the computer, instantaneously all his information comes up, bank information, blah blah blah. It can show where, you know, because think about it. If everything you do can be tracked, if you go to the mall, you buy this, you buy gas, you buy this, you buy this, everything, your whole being can be tracked. If they have the satellite with the ORCOM, they can track you within, you know, your phone, you know, your phone has GPS, and it can track you within 6 meters. Okay, so if you have the RFID, and look how little your phone is. Your phone has a little device just like that same RFID chip. So if that's inside of you, they can track you within a couple meters. And then everything you buy is tracked. So you're a robot. You're a robot now. You're an instrument of the beast. And what the beast is going to do, the anti-Messiah, he's going to radio control and all these people who receive the mark of the beast into fighting against Yahushua. This is what he's going to control them, to all these people to fight against Yahushua when he comes, and Yahushua is going to destroy all these people who have received the mark of the beast. He will destroy them. That's why there will be blood from up to the horse's bridle, because he will destroy everybody who has received the mark of the beast. And so that's what it's getting. It's basically going to get people to control, be controlled, to become zombies. So the FBI has released money for the biometrics for this system, and we're going to have more on that. In future shows, yeah, willing. But I mean, this thing is getting serious. They're releasing money. They're sprinting. They're no longer jogging. They're no longer working. They're sprinting towards getting the mark of the beast race. So that's what, you know, everybody kept talking about 2012. This is what you're talking about in 2012. This is what's happening in 2012. The introduction of the mark of the beast. This is what you're talking about, the introduction to the beginning of the mark of the beast. That's what you're talking about, the precursor to the mark of the beast. So that's what is happening in the UK, and it will soon find its way to America, and it already has found its way to America, to all these other nations, and to which all the stage will be set when the anti-Messiah gets here to do that. So that's what's going on. You're still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Huicide, and we still are on the way. Hey, man, I hope you're taking notes and joining, man. This is what's going down. But we want to talk about something. We've been talking about the false side, but we want to talk about, hey, man, we need to talk about some good stuff right here. We want to talk about the tree of life. Now, we've been talking about last week, we've been talking about the Genesis, and we've been talking about the Genesis, and we've been talking about all that, and we've been talking about, so that was good. You know, we got on Genesis and we went through some things, but we really wanted to go into some more information, because we talked about the tree. We talked about the tree, but right now you got the scriptures. Go to Genesis Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, out of the ground, Yahuwah Elohim made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know that everything is somewhat a parable, and there's literal and there's literal and spiritual meanings to different things, and the word is a double-edged sword. So when we look up that word tree, and we look up to the word, we look up to, you know, we try to get the meaning of it, and the root comes back to 3289 Yates, and the word for tree gives you a kind of more revealing definition. It says to advise, like a plan or purpose or deliberate or reasoning or something like that. That's what it says. It says it's like a, and it's from the word eights, you know, eights, plan, advice, purpose. So basically, If that's the truth, then there was two different trees with two different purposes. So you had two firm plans or forms of sound advice, advisement or counsel or purpose. So we talked about that last week. We talked about that somehow this tree of goodness, because we talked about the only thing after we talked about after Yahuwah. In the beginning, we talked about Yahuwah creating the heavens and the earth. And then we talked about the destruction of the earth, all that happened. And then we had Yahuwah making and renewing the earth 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. He you know, everything being destroyed, he rested. And we talked about everything until that point when he's rested, everything was perfect. Until that point, the 6 days for his man, everything is perfect. Now, the scriptures uses the word good and evil. We know that the only thing that was evil at that time was Hasatan and his messengers, the one-third messengers who had, you know, who had fallen in with him. And so this imagery or almost gives you the sense of the knowledge of good and evil being the advice, the counsel of Hasatan, the adversary, because he was the only thing that's evil, and that which was had been created. Okay, you talk about the tree of life being there, and we know the tree of life. We know that Yahushua said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, so, you know, we're going to look more into this. When you look at the word tree, it gives you an example. Hey, advice, so we're talking about somehow something happened in the garden. We're going to talk about it, you know, there's writings about, you know, the story of Adam and Hawana and things, but we can get into that. But we're going to talk about how that somehow there had to be some advice, there had to be some counsel in which Hawana had took from Hashtan, and she had been deceived and gave that advice, that fruit, unto Adam, and he did sin. Okay, because look at this. We read Genesis 3. So we're gonna get into this, because we're gonna eventually, not too much talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're gonna talk about the tree, or the advice, the purpose of okay, we're going to talk about the advice. That's what tree. That's what the connotation of the Hebrew word tree gives you. Yates. And we look into the, when you break it down and get to the root, that's what it meant. Counsel or advice, or, you know, 3289, it was counsel or advice and all these things that somehow meant counsel. And so when you look at this and it says Genesis 3:1, it says, and Nashor was more crafty than all the lives of the field which Yahuwah Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it true that Elohim has said, do not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden? See now, when we talk about advice. So it's like a double meaning right here. So right now, Hashatan was trying to trick her and give her, you know, advice and direction or a purpose or a plan that was off of what Yahuwah said, because Yahuwah never had said. That was a lie from the beginning, because Yahuwah had said that she could not eat from every tree in the garden. He said, do not eat from this tree, being Hashatan. And we want to show you that, hey, that tree was actually a who, a person, a tree. That tree was a person, because we want to skip. Before we get into this, so you'll understand this more. No, we're going to keep reading. So you can understand what the tree was actually a who. It says, and the woman said to Nashor, we are to eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim said, do not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. So it's almost like, we pause right here, it's almost like Yahuwah was basically telling Hawana and Adam not to heed or listen to the counsel, nor touch it, nor come near it, to the counsel of Hashatan. He knew Hashatan was in the garden. Hashatan had failed. He had prior knowledge of the age before, the age of chaos and of the messengers, in which Yahuwah had destroyed the whole earth. You know what I'm saying? When the earth was void and without form and chaotic, he had warned them not to listen or take advice, not to heed unto that tree. It was a parable, not to eat from that fruit, that so-called knowledge or whatever he had. Okay. So then it says, and the Nashor said to the woman, you shall not certainly die. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. So that was the whole purpose. That one, that number one, that two, that gives you a revealing of what, of who the tree of good and evil was. Because this whole purpose was to get them to believe that, hey, when you eat this tree, you'll know good from evil, being like Elohim. And what was the main purpose? What was his main purpose? When we read Yeshayahu 14, and it said that, you know, he wanted to ascend to the heavens to be like El. So he tried to get Yahuwah's own creation, created from the dust of the earth, to be like El and know good from evil. So he was that tree. Okay? It said, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. See, that's why you notice it's a parable. It said that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So it wasn't actually food nourishment. It was a parable of, hey, whatever this advice is he telling her, she believes that it can make her wise. She deceived herself. Hawana deceived herself, and then she deceived Adam into believe that they could be like Elohim. They could be like Elohim. That they actually could be Elohim. That's what the whole trick was, is that he had deceived himself already. We know that from the beginning. So he deceived her into believing that she could be like Yahuwah, and she believed it. She ends up telling Adam that he could be like Elohim. And so that's how you have it. It said, and the woman saw the tree It says, and the tree was desired to make one wise. She took the fruit and ate. And she gave it to her husband, and he ate. So that was the whole trick. That was the whole trick by the tree of good and evil, is to make them believe that they could be like Elohim. That's why she looked at it. That's why she looked at the advice and said yes. She probably said yes. We can be like Elohim. You know what I'm saying? So when she took that advice and she acted on that, then she passed it to Adam. Adam felt the same way and had deceived himself and sinned it in sin. Then both of them were open. It says both of their eyes. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and swooped fig leaves together to cover their loins for themselves. And they heard the voice of Yahuwah Elohim walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahuwah among the trees of the garden. And Yahuwah Elohim called unto Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I have heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Check what Yahuwah say, though. And he said, Who made you know that you were naked? Remember, because they ate the fruit, what the tree meant, advice, counsel, direction, or plan. Okay? So this false counsel from Hashatan is Hashatan was the culprit. He was the tree of good and evil. Because Yahuwah said, "Who made you know that you were naked?" They had ate the fruit. They had ate the advice of Hashatan to make themselves know that. It says, "Have you eaten the tree of which I have commanded you you shall not eat? Have you listened to the advice of Hashatan in which I told you not to?" And they had. And the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, gave me of the tree, and I ate." And Yahuwah said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The Nasha deceived me, and I ate." And Yahuwah Elohim said to Nasha, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the livestock and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you are to go and to eat the dust all your life. I put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he shall crush your head and you shall crush his heel." And the woman, he said, "I greatly increase your sorrow and your conception bring forth children in pain. In your desire is for your husband. And he does rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'Do not eat of it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you are to eat of it all your days of your life. And the ground shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. It says, 'By the sweat of your face you are to eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you return.'" And the man called his wife's name Hawam, because she became the mother of all living. And Yahuwah Elohim made them coats of skin for a man and his wife, and dressed them. And Yahuwah said to them, "See, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand to take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." So, right here, we're going to stop right there. Verse 22, he told them, it's a very important verse. He said, "And look, and now, lest he put out his hand, take from the tree of life, and eat it, and live forever." So Yahuwah
Elohim sent out his, sent them out of the garden to till the ground from which the, he was taken. And he drove the man out, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the garden with a flaming sword, and he turned every way to guard it, to guard the way of the tree of life.
So we want to talk about the tree of life now. Tree of life, that's used, I believe, 10 times in the scripture. Okay? So we talk about the tree of life. When we think about this, we just ponder on it. Hawa and Adam, they could have ate. Yahuwah told them they could have ate of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you take it as, if he would have ate from the tree of life first, if they would have ate from the tree of life first, the counsel, the wisdom, the wisdom of the tree of life, the plan for the tree of life, they would have lived forever. That's what the, that's what Yahuwah said. Yahuwah said if they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have ate forever. But they didn't. So we know that evil or sin brings death. So they would certainly die. And he certainly died. And so now, that's why all men die now. That's why all men, that's where death comes from. It wasn't Yahuwah's intentions of having death, but he knew it would happen. That's why he sent Yahushua the Messiah. So it wasn't his intention, though. So that's why you have death. That's why every man dies, is because that has been introduced into this realm. You know what I'm saying? So the tree of life was guarded, and they could have ate from the tree of life. They would have ate from the tree of life. We wouldn't be having this discussion. They would have lived forever. And so this is what you have. And so what is or who is the tree of life? So we wanted to get into that, the tree of life in which they had been separated from and which they long back to have. When we talk about the tree of life, tree of life, like I said, is used about almost about 10 times. We can go to Proverbs. A lot of times it's used in Proverbs. You go to Proverbs 3. Go to Proverbs 3:18, but we're going to read a little bit before Proverbs 3:18. It says, my son, we're going to start at verse 11, Proverbs 3:11. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yahuwah, and do not loathe his reproof. For whom Yahuwah loves, he reproves as a father the son whom he delights in. Blessed is the man who has found wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the gain from it is better than the gain of, from silver, and its increase finer than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all her delights are comparable to her. The length of her days are in her right hand, riches and esteem are in her left hand. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peaceful. She is a tree of life to those taking hold of her, and blessed are all those who retain her. So right here, the tree of life is comparable to wisdom. Tree of life is comparable to wisdom right here, and it says, hey, wisdom. So we want to move on right there. So just jot these down. The tree of life is compared to wisdom, to discipline, to wisdom, to just like the tree was, purpose. But there's two distinctive ways, because even in the garden, there's two distinctive ways. There's a way of life and there's a way of death. You know, and that's what was in the garden. There was a way of life and there was a way of death. And Hawa and Adam chose the way of death. And so that's why people died. But hey, Yahushua sent the Messiah in order that we may have a way to life. So Proverbs 11:30, that's what it says. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is winning lives is wise. So the fruit of righteousness, what are the fruits of righteousness? What are the fruits of righteousness? We talked about that not too long ago. And we're going to get that for you. We're going to get that for you. When we go to Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no Torah. So these fruits make up the fruits of the tree of life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, and self-control. So these are the fruits that we should aspire to grow, and that's another one. That's another one which embodies the tree of life. What else is embodied in the tree of life? You go to Proverbs 13:12. And expectancy drawn out makes the heart sick, but a longing come true is the tree of life. So we just talked about the garden, about how Adam and Hawana, they were kicked out of the garden, and they longed to get back in the garden. They longed to only after then to eat from the tree of life. They longed to eat back from the tree of life when they had got kicked out. It was a longing expectation. It was a longing, and it made their heart sick. However, Yahuwah would not allow it, and he kicked them out of the garden. So only way they could go back is through the redemption of Yahushua. And so sometimes our heart gets sick, and sometimes we groan, and our body cries out, like Shaul was saying. Even when we go to Corinthians, I don't know if I can find it. It's actually Romans, I believe. When you go to Romans 8:22, it says, for we know that all creation groans together in the sufferings of the pain of childbirth together until now. And not only so, but even we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting the adoption and the redemption of our body. For this is the expectancy we were saved, but expectation that is seen is not expectation. For when anyone sees, does he expect it? So expectation is what we were saved in. The expectation for the tree of life. The expectation to see Yahushua. We have that same expectation that Adam had and Hawana had after they had sinned and after they had longed to go back into the tree, eat from the tree, because truth be told, all men have sinned and fallen short of the esteem of Yahuwah. So we have that same expectancy. But when, if we hold fast to the covenant, but when we see Yahushua, we will have that fulfilled desire of, and I think that's sometimes why we go through things and we pray for things and it doesn't happen, and it seems like it's moving slow, and you know, and it's, your heart gets sick and you want to give up, and it's just you lose your mind because you imagine, you know, the end result, but it seems like you're so far from it. And I think that sometimes Yahuwah lets us experience that. So when he fulfills that desire, we have the feeling of what it feels like to take part in the tree of life. So that's another example of what the tree of life embodies. And also, we can go to Proverbs 15:4. This is what it says. A healing tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it crushes the spirit. Okay, a healing tongue is a tree of life. Now, pause and go to Revelations 22:1-3. It says, "And he showed me a river of water of life, a clear as crystal, coming from the throne of our King and the Lamb, and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And it just talked about that the healing, a healing tongue. So we know, we talked about, it talked about the 12, talked about the 12, everything in the, everything of these are things are parables and different things and allegories, but it said it brought 12 fruits. It said this tree, it said the tree of life, which is comparable to Yahushua, it brought 12 fruit. It brought 12 fruits. We know that the 12 is symbolic of the number of the tribes of Yisrael, and we are the branches, and we are born. And from Yahushua, you know, he is that tree, he is the root, and we're born from that tree. And he said that we would, that our, those 144,000 that were blameless, that they, their mouth, they would have for the healing of the nation, because they were spotless, they were blameless in his sight. So we have that. It says, so Revelations 2 and 7. We're going to read these last two right here. Revelations 2 and 7. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him who overcomes, I shall give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Elohim." So this is just a question I was thinking about last night. It is, you know, that when, you know, when we see Yahushua and he says he shall give us authority, who overcomes, that we will eat from the tree of life, it's so mind-boggling, because it's in the midst of paradise, and it's the paradise of Elohim. So what's going to be what Adam and Hawana, is it the same tree? It's just so many questions, but we can only find out by our first-hand experience. So, you know, we want to take part in the tree of life. We want to take part in this, in the Ruach or spirit of Yahushua. And right here, so how can we, this is the last verse, the last scripture today, so how can we take part in the tree of life? How can we have a part in the tree of life again, one day in the future? This is what it says. Revelation 22:14. "Blessed are those doing his commands. And I want to pause there, because okay, I want to. "Well, blessing on those doing his commands." Now, it's you know, and I've been guilty of this a lot of times. You just got to do it. We can't be hearers only, you know, deceiving ourselves, but doers. "Blessing are those doing his commands, so that authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life to enter through the gates of the city." So basically, that's how you can eat from the tree of life, to do his commands. You know, to love Yahuwah Elohim with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know, it's easier, and nobody said it's going to be an easy task. You know, it's a struggle every day to get to that point of maturity. But hey, we got to strive every day, because you know, we got to strive every day to get better, to, hey, love better, to, you know, to hit the reset button and say, hey, you know, we can do it better today. We can make it today because, you know, Yahuwah, after all the things we have done, he has not given up on us. You know what I'm saying? He will give up on us when we have given up on us. You know, you give up on yourself. Sometimes even then, his love is so intense that he will come and gather you, you know what I'm saying, even from that point. But it's like, hey, that's all the things we have done and sinned against his face as a nation. You know, he has not forsaken his people. He said he would never forsake and get cast off his people. And so it's like, hey, that same love that he has for us, we have to translate it into, you know, love for one another and just get better. So, hey, hope you will bless you. Hope the word went forth, and I hope that we continue to just learn and suck from the Ruach HaKodesh. So, man, who will bless you and keep you, man. May his face shine upon you. May you have a blessed Sabbath. Hey, man, we out here. You listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sadi. You still on the way. Man, who will bless you and keep you. We out of here.